It's my pleasure today to have with us at Crosswinds at 1590 WSMN one of my all-time heroes of the hit Discovery series Deadliest Catch, Captain Keith Colburn of The Wizard. Keith, thanks for taking time. The first thing I have to do is I have four boys that are all big Deadliest Catch fans, but my son Adam has gone completely overboard with the whole thing, so he insisted I give you a shout-out from Adam.
Oh, well, let me give Adam a shout-out. Stay safe and stay in school and don't even think about fishing, Adam.
He's a hard worker. He's a good kid. First one to give me a couple grandsons, so he's a prize. Hey, the first thing I have to ask you is, what was the initial reaction of you and the other captains when you guys were first approached by Discovery about doing this?
Well, initial reactions were apprehension. You know, we've got a lot going on. It's
I
a
bet.
Dangerous job. You know, we're concerned about distractions. We didn't really know what to expect, putting extra bodies out there basically in the line of fire, so to speak. And so there was a lot of apprehension. And actually, first year of the show, The Wizard, they came to us and wanted the boat on the show. And the previous owner said, absolutely no way. Did not want any distractions on board while we're trying to catch crab. You know, within a couple of years, I had purchased The Wizard, and they kept asking, so we brought them on board.
Any regrets?
I wouldn't say regrets, but it's not all, you know, there's definitely pluses and minuses to doing the show. You know, I mean, one is time. You know, we're taking a little bit of extra time before each season to try and work with them, and then time at home. You know, there's marketing stuff and things that pull us away from our families during the summers now when we're home for fishing. So those would be, I would say, the regrets. But there's a lot of pluses too, and I'd say that the pluses greatly outweigh the minuses.
Well, that's good to hear. I'll tell you, one of the pluses is you've given people like me and, of course, millions of people a glimpse into an absolutely fascinating lifestyle. And Keith, you're one of the only ones in the series that wasn't born into the Bering Sea and fishing. You sought it out, which also fascinates me. You were a 22-year-old Lake Tahoe ski bum, and you went up to Kodiak really on a wing and a prayer, I guess, with $50 and a tent. And so you wanted this life on the Bering Sea.
When I left Lake Tahoe, I didn't know what I wanted. You know, I've been working in the restaurant for 7 years. I started when I was really young.
Yeah.
And was a pretty, I wouldn't say renowned, but I was a very talented chef, assistant chef, sous chef. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, be in the kitchen my whole life. So I wanted to try something new. I'll tell you what, my best friend flew up there with me to Kodiak. We flew in on March 7th in a snowstorm, and there were like three lights on in the harbor. I mean, we had gotten there about a month early, and we looked at each other and went, man, we really screwed up this time. but one of those sets of lights was a big old dusty, crusty crab boat that had been tied up for about 3 years that hadn't been fished, that needed two real stupid, young, strong backs to help whip it into shape, and they threw me on board.
Yeah, for a moment there, I pictured you as Will Ferrell flying into Alaska with one of those, you know, I think we really stepped in it type deals.
Oh, no, we literally did.
Yeah, that's a riot, and look what it turned into. Now, Discovery, whoever had the idea to film this and the way they've done it is just astonishing. The series has, almost accidentally, every entertainment element that someone like that could wish for. I mean, there's danger, there's the geographic beauty of Alaska, all this stuff, and the high energy, very intense setting. Were you guys surprised that it became such a hit?
You know what? Before the show existed, I would, if I was traveling or doing something, and I'd start to strike up a conversation, the person next to me would say, well, what do you do for a living? I'd say, well, I crab fish up in Alaska. And the first thing out of their mouth would be, I mean, it was the only thing they really knew or America knew at that time. It's like, wow, that's really dangerous. And then I'd spend the next hour or two on the flight talking about my job. And it was from all walks of life that, you know, I would meet people that would be just captivated and just really interested in what we do for a living. So it kind of, it didn't shock me that, you know, that they were capable of making a show about this. I guess what's shocking is how it's just exploded across America, you know, for a cable show to I guess they were saying it's over 80 million people watched the show this year. I mean, that's like absolutely
I mean, Keith, you guys are like rock stars. My son Adam went to see Sig and the other guys at an auditorium a couple weekends. You know, they're like Charles Krauthammer and Dick Morris doing the speech circuit now. It's just incredible. I think one of the appealing things about Deadliest Catch, at least for me, is how you and the other boats and the crews, you guys really embody the American spirit, and especially the American spirit of maybe a generation ago. It's disappearing, and I think it's refreshing for people to see guys like you. You're kind of like modern-day Gold Rush cowboys, you know? I mean, you really go out there, you face all these things, and I really think that that's an element about it that people like. It really, you guys just embody the American go for it, damn the torpedoes attitude. And additionally, I don't think any of you guys, nor do I think you're prone to it, but you haven't fallen into like role acting or the camera just doesn't seem to affect anybody. You guys are just who you are. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things people ask all the time is, I'm surrounded by a wall of electronics on my boat, and one of those pieces of electronics now is a camera. When I start getting engaged in what I'm doing and trying to haul pots, trying to keep the weather off the crew, trying to catch crab, trying to figure out where the next string is going to be set, everything that goes into trying to be productive and efficient and get that boat home as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You lose track of that little black box just as if it's another one of the electronics that you don't look at all the time, you know. I mean, you're focused on your plotter, your radar, your sounder, and the Bering Sea and the deck and
yeah.
the guys. So it's real easy to not have to worry about that thing. And, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, they just get us, I would say, you know, in this raw material that they have to work with, and some of it's probably not fit for TV, let's put it that way.
Well, I bet it isn't, but that's part of the charm of it, and you lead me nicely into my next point here. You know, I'm a 20-year private pilot. I love aviation, and naturally, along with that, I'm a weather enthusiast. Watching you pilot the Wizard through hurricane-force winds, and you've been up for 30 hours, it reminds me a lot of instrument flying, and I don't think people know how mentally exhausting that is. Do you ever get used to enduring that kind of stress, or is that what your brother Monty is for, the relief captain?
Well, I'm very fortunate that I have a licensed captain that's my backup on the boat, and my brother Monty's, you know, before coming back to the Wizard, had spent 6 years running a different boat, so he's incredibly capable of pretty much anything, and, you know, he's weathered every possible nasty situation the Bering Sea can throw at him, so I've got a good number two, but I mean, yeah, there's times when you can't stand up. You can't, you literally are going up one wave and down the next because you know that big cleanup set or that big monster is lurking out there somewhere. And you've got to be on the throttles and on the steerage the whole time trying to maintain steerage to get through there. There's been times when I've basically had to, I couldn't walk. My lower half of my body went completely numb from the stress, the tension, and just trying to sit there and focus on getting the boat through the storm to where finally, you know, I remember one time I had that, my brother wouldn't pick up. He was exhausted. He'd been on deck for probably 24 hours and he wasn't answering the phone. I basically had to take the boat out of gear and crawl down to his stateroom and pound on the door to get him to come up to try to relieve me.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. You know, as of the many things I do, I've also been 30 years in the trucking and excavation business, so I know about diesels and keeping equipment going, and of course that's another part of your show that's fascinating for me. But also, because we're like snowplow guys up here too, I've had experience with that kind of extreme fatigue, and I don't think people who, unless you've done it, you don't know how that kind of fatigue just, I mean, you end up hallucinating, you can't move, and I'm just plowing snow around. I'm not 400 miles out in the Bering Sea, you know? So that part of it has always fascinated me. I move along here because we've taken so much of your time already today. One of the many endearing things about this series, I'm sure you're aware, and I think captures people, are the softer moments amongst these really, really hard guys. As a parent, one that got me was the time you were on the phone with your daughter who was coaching you through quitting chewing tobacco. And, you know, I could see it in your eyes. You could just see everything in your eyes that you miss your family, that time away from your family. That's got to be one of the toughest parts of this gig.
Oh, no. Leaving the family is always difficult. But I'll tell you what, being reunited with the family when you get home is just spectacular. And, you know, and today we're a lot more fortunate with the communications we have with satellite phones. You know, I can still be a part of my kids' lives when I'm away and I'm fishing. You know, 10, 15 years ago, it was, you know, radios and single sidebands and patching through to KMI out of San Francisco to try and spend, you know, $10 or $15 a minute for a 5-minute call.
Right.
You know, and you know, snail mail and things like that. So we're closer to our families, but, you know, at times that almost can be a bother too, because it used to be I could go out and fish and just concentrate on what I was doing, you know, and now it's like all of a sudden it's like, guess what the boy did today?
I'm yeah.
like going, I don't want to think about this right now.
Right. Clearly, clearly your wife is out shopping while you're doing this interview.
No, the wife is doing the soccer mom thing, shuttling a gymnast and a baseball player all over the place.
We're talking with Captain Keith Colburn, captain of the Wizard on the hit Discovery series Deadliest Catch. Another season is coming up soon. Fascinating show. If anyone had ever told me 5 years ago that I'd be hooked on a show about crab fishing, I would have said they were nuts. But it has come to be. As we finish up here, Keith, Captain Phil, I think we all felt like we knew him. Seems like an absolutely instant lovable guy. That must have been devastating for you.
You know, it's interesting because people do think they know us, and I think Phil came across probably, I think the show captured a lot of who Phil is probably better than most of us. And so he was a very colorful figure. He was very intense, he's a very good fisherman, and, you know, he was kind of, you know, he's one of those guys that really was very representative of the guys that are up there fishing in the Bering Sea. And, yeah, it was a big loss for not only myself, but the guys on the show, but everybody that fishes out there in Alaska and the Bering Sea.
Yeah.
And to bring that into a bunch of people's homes is, you know what, I got to pat Phil on the back because, you know,
That's what he wanted, right?
The camera's role is a big deal, you know, to allow something like that to occur is, I think, just shows just how special the guy was.
Yeah, well, you took the words right out of my mouth there. How are his two boys doing?
Well, I saw them just a couple weeks ago. They are right now, from what I understand, trying to gear that boat back up. They run into some roadblocks. You know, the primary owner was Cornelia, and so they're only, you know, minority owners at this
yep.
time, and they're doing their best to try and get that boat back into the fishery, and it's a battle, and you know, and I know the battle they're up against because, you know, I came from basically nowhere with nothing, and it takes a lot of capital and a lot of hard work and elbow grease to get a boat up and running and get it to where it's, in, you know, successful. So, I mean, Phil left them with, you know what, Phil probably left the boys with just enough to make them make something of themselves. And you got to pat them on the back again for that.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, my money's on them to do it too. And he certainly seemed like a hell of a guy. And just as we close here, yeah, I thought Discovery really handled that well. They didn't exploit it. They didn't overdo it. There was just enough of everything for folks to really get the depth of what was going on. And, made me cry, man. I can tell you that. So we finish up here. Captain Keith, when's the next season start? What do we have to look forward to here?
We're starting. My boat is halfway across the Gulf of Alaska as we speak. We're pretty well right up against the gun. Left this Saturday. My brother and the crew are taking the boat north right now. I'm going to fly in here in a few days and meet them. And the season will start October 15th. Same day every year, king crab.
Awesome. And my last question is, and you can either just say, I'll either confirm or deny on this. I've heard rumors that Captain Sieg sometimes keeps an Apelio crab in his pants to help him stay awake. Any truth to that, or would you rather? Okay, I'm going to...
Yeah, we can definitely confirm that one.
Okay, man. Keith, it's been a blast. You seem like a hell of a guy. I hope we can meet someday. Be safe out there, man, and thanks so much for being part of bringing something really special into the lives of so many people, man. You should always feel good about that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and good luck. All those East Coast fishermen, stay safe, and we'll be looking for you here in the spring when the show comes on.
Okay, man. Enjoy your day.
All right.
Thanks, bye. Keith. Bye.